For many years, the writer-producer Bob Gale and the writer-director Robert Zemeckis seemed joined at the hip. Together they made I Want to Hold Your Hand and Used Cars before hitting it big with the Back to the Future films. But Zemeckis and Gale have since gone their separate ways. Zemeckis, of course, made Who Framed Roger Rabbit and Forrest Gump. Gale, meanwhile, has come up with what he calls the world's first interactive movie. Film critic Stephen Schiff reviews Mr. Payback.
At your theater seat, right where the cup holder should be, there's a kind of joystick, a pistol grip with three buttons, green, orange, and red. You've already bought your ticket. Mine cost $5 at a theater where most features cost $8, and a single ticket lets you sit through the 20-minute Mr. Payback as many times as you want. The lights go down, and you see cheesy-looking shots of skyscrapers from low angles. That's supposed to mean it's the future. Then you hear,
Payback. Mr. Payback. Who is Mr. Payback? A whispered legend. A prototype justice machine. Human once, now legally dead, yet very much alive. Part man, part cyborg, and 100% Avenger. Operating secretly from a forgotten part of town. Assisted by his lovely hacker helpmate, Gwen, and accessible via the Internet Underground to those in need. Mr. Payback is said to take all revenge personally and with pride. His motto, DPMO.
Don't piss me off.
What sets Mr. Payback apart from lesser men is mainly his index finger. A plaster of Paris-looking thing that opens up to dispense crazy glue, darts, fire, noxious gases, and so forth. His other great weapon is, I'm afraid, his superhuman flatulence. Mr. Payback is played by Billy Warlock, who used to star in TV's Baywatch. He's perky and cute and bland. There are three main plots, which are also bland but not perky or cute, and the audience chooses which one to watch. The one involving the pretty girl who's being sexually harassed at college usually gets the most votes, but many people stay for a second run-through, and then they're encouraged to select the plot about a poor Latino whose land is being taken over by an evil town official. The storylines are simple, but I couldn't follow them anyway, for two reasons. One, the characters are so inane that they deflect attention instead of attracting it, and two, the movie itself urges you to forget about the story and concentrate on other things, like the choices you're expected to make with your pistol grip and the points you can rack up with certain votes. If an audience totals up enough points, you're rewarded with a bonus scene at the end of the movie. Every 2 minutes or so, the bottom of the screen lights up with choices. The words gross moment, for instance, will appear, and you'll be asked to choose solid, liquid, or gas. At this point, the audience of 20 people or so that I saw the movie with went into a frenzy of plastic button pushing. The whole theater sounded like chattering teeth. Numbers on the screen tell you which choice is winning, and finally the one with the most points triumphs. Gross moment liquid, if memory serves, had to do with a large emission of mucus. The movie is all about gross moments. In an obvious attempt to appeal to teenagers without alarming their elders, Mr. Payback is bloodless. And the revenge its hero takes is always a matter of embarrassing evildoers or subjecting them to onslaughts of bodily fluids. So, will this thing fly? I can't imagine how. It requires no skill on the part of the audience, so it's much less engrossing than a video game. And because its storytelling is incredibly feeble, and has to be to accommodate all these choices, nothing on the screen ever seems worth watching. Movies aren't a democracy, and the decisions an audience can vote for are never going to be as interesting as the ones a skilled filmmaker makes. Mr. Payback proves that, and yet a similar kind of wrong-headed democracy comes into play in Hollywood, when the studios change the plots and endings of movies in response to the votes of preview audiences. Next time that happens, some studio honcho should be subjected to, well, you decide, solid, liquid, or gas.
Stephen Schiff is critic at large for The New Yorker.